Amen. The 21st chapter begins with an important lesson that shows us life is not fulfilled through this material world. Life is fulfilled by a fullness of our spiritual being. You are a spiritual being having an earthly experience, and you got to know that. If you think you're an earthly being having a spiritual experience, you've got it reversed. Jesus always teaches that the spiritual life, the kingdom of God life, is more important than the life of this world. In fact, Jesus said, in the life of this world, you will have trouble. But in my world, which is a spiritual world, you will have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, the 21st chapter begins with a little lady, a widow, coming and giving the widow's mite two little copper coins she gave worth about an eighth of a penny. And Jesus said, wow, that woman outgave everybody. Because here's how, when you give by faith, you outgive anybody. And there's a difference. Giving by intellect says, okay, I calculate. Okay. You calculate and you throw it in. Giving by faith, and Darla and I have often given by faith. First of all, we've always been tithers all our lives. Even when we couldn't afford it, we were tithers. And we also have given sacrificial gifts where we just say, Lord, give us a number. And Darla always has a bigger number than me. She's more spiritual, I guess. But it's to stretch us. And it's to teach us. Here's what generosity and giving is to teach us the lesson Jesus would love us to know from this chapter. And the lesson is, your life is not fulfilled from the material world. It's fulfilled from the spiritual world. And then to illustrate that, in this chapter, Jesus says, okay, remember where Jesus is? He's in the temple. He's in his last week of his life. He's entered into the city of Jerusalem. He's cleaned a space in the temple. And now he's teaching in the temple. Every day he's teaching. And he says, I want you to look around. I want you to see the temple. And it was a much nicer room than the room we're sitting in. It had ornate, solid marble pillars. It had gold, shield, silver, brass. They say if the sun was just right in the horizon, you couldn't even look at the building. It would just be so luminescent. And Jesus, hey, look at this place. It's all coming down. Get this truth. Jesus and his spiritual kingdom was coming to replace that man-made building. Because Jesus was teaching us, you don't have to go to a building now to experience the presence of God. Christ is with you always. It's not even, like, this place is not so important. You people are what's really important around here. This is a building, we like it. It's got some lights, air conditioning, we're glad for that. We're glad for cushioned seats. Listen, I grew up without cushioned seats. For those of you that came from the era of the wooden pew with no padding, you thank God for padded seats. But the place is not so important. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus is saying by this very illustration, which is in verse, I think it's in verse 5 and 6, where he says, not one stone on this temple will be left. It's all going to come down. Because it's not the material that really brings in the kingdom of God. It is the spiritual. It's the presence of Christ. Now, when they heard that the temple was going to come down, they said, okay, Lord, verse 7, could you tell us when these things are going to happen? If the temple is coming down, and they didn't even really understand what Jesus was teaching, that he was actually replacing the temple, a new way of worship, where you don't have to... Aren't you glad you don't have to go to Jerusalem to experience the presence of God? That's what Jesus is teaching us, that you don't have to go to a temple, that when you get up in the morning, Christ is in you. He is the hope of glory in you all day long. Aren't you glad for that? That's what he says. I'm with you. I'm in you always. So they said, well, Lord, well, we've loved this temple. It's been around for so long and we love it. What will be the signs of these things coming to be? Because the temple had been around for such a long time and Jesus was coming to replace that. So Jesus is going to now give some of the signs of the temple. And get this. When bad things happen, when negative things happen around you, they could happen not because of you, but they could happen just because of the world we live in. When negative things come, God would like to prepare you for them, and by His Holy Spirit, He would like to warn you about them. He'll warn you about negative things that are about to happen to prepare you through an inner witness of the Spirit. Sometimes He'll get you up earlier in the morning because He knows it's going to be one of those days. Because the inner witness of the Spirit through wise teachers. And you see the principle here that when bad things are going to happen, when negative things are going to happen, God would like to prepare you. And He's preparing these people by saying, hey, there's going to be some signs that take place. There's going to be some things. I want you to listen. First of all, and He gives this one often when He talks about the end of time, He says a lot of people are going to come in verse 8 and say, hey, I'm the Christ. I am He. Don't follow them. He warns them. Verse 9. And you'll also hear of wars. And there'll be commotions. Do not be terrified. Watch. When you hear of bad things, what's Jesus' instruction? Do not be terrified. Now let's say that together. Do not be terrified. When you watch the news. Because there is an application. Sometimes we read these prophecies and go, okay, there's a current application that I want you to get. That in this material world, there'll be commotion. But Jesus is teaching us from the first story and from the destruction of the temple, your source of strength is not from this material world. Your source of strength is from the kingdom of God. So even though you hear about commotion, do not be terrified. Do not be troubled. Let there be peace in your heart. For these things, they must come to pass, but then the end is going to come. It's not going to come immediately. Then He said to them, nations will rise against nations and kingdoms. There'll be a lot of strife in the world, in the material world. There will be strife. And there will be earthquakes. The very earth will shake in various places, and we see more of that happening. Famines, pestilence. How many know those are all negative things? And there will be fearful sights, and there'll even be some signs in heaven. There'll be turmoil on the earth and turmoil in heaven. Before all this turmoil on the earth, there's going to be some personal persecution. They're going to lay their hands on you. We don't know this very much in North America. We have some brothers and sisters in Christ that really know this in places like Syria and the Middle East. We've got some brothers and sisters that are serving Christ in countries where it's illegal to serve Christ. Sometimes we think our persecution is someone giving us a dirty look. When they go, you go to church? And they roll their eyes. Oh, I've been persecuted. No. Jesus, you're really. And we have to develop some tough men of God. And some tough women of God. To be ready. I just want you to be ready that if they haul you before the courts, which is what He says could happen, to persecute you, they'll deliver you up to human organizations, some of them religious synagogues or religious persecution and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and rulers or courts for My name's sake, but it will turn out for you. Watch this as an occasion for testimony. This is how tough these first century Christians, we need to be tough like them. In the first century, when they were arrested and brought to the courts, they said, praise God. They're going to have to listen to us because we have to give testimony. And during testimony, We're going to testify. And they did. Remember when Paul was brought before King Agrippa? He says, oh, thank God I'm here. Oh, King Agrippa, I'm so glad to be here. I know, because he knew Agrippa. He didn't have his head in the sand. He knew current events. He said, I know, King Agrippa, that you study the law, that you're a man who's interested in the Word of God. And I was like you one time. I studied the Word of God, and it didn't make real sense to me. But then I met this Jesus, and he talked to him about Jesus. And then he finally, at the end of his testimony before the king, says, hey, you want to believe? Now, King Agrippa says, you are crazy, man. It's what he says. Well, he says it like this. Much learning has made you mad. I put that on my door in college. That was my scripture for college. Much learning has made you mad. That was from King Agrippa, his quote. He says, I'm not, you're actually trying to get me to be a Christian. Exactly. Because that's what Jesus said we should do. Remember when they brought Peter and John and they brought them before the courts and Peter and John spoke so boldly and gave such a wonderful testimony? They said, who are you guys? Oh, then they said, they've been with Jesus. Oh, they haven't been to any of our schools. But they've been to the school of Jesus. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, enroll in the school of Jesus. Be part of the school of Jesus. Well, you're here on Wednesday, so you're probably already enrolled. You probably are. So enroll. So they spoke boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, use it as a testimony for me. And so don't get really under anxiety. His whole theme is the world does its thing. The material world does its thing. But you operate in a different world. You give money when you can't afford it. When the temple comes down, you go, oh, the temple came down. Doesn't matter. You live in a different world. When they haul you in front of courts, don't get all stressed out about it. When people ask you about Jesus and ask you if you're a Christian, they'll go, what'd you do on the weekend? Ate breakfast. I went to church and it was incredible. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. What did you do? Because he says, you're going to be, watch this. Therefore, settle it in your hearts, have a calm heart, not to meditate or worry about, not to be up the night before going, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Don't get all stressed out about it beforehand. What if they ask me this, and what if they ask me that? And some of you will not, or you're hesitant to give a witness to somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ because you know you don't have all the answers. And there's not one person in this room, not one, who has all the answers. And if there is someone here who has all the answers or thinks you do, we want to refer you to God resisting the proud. All you need to know is Christ is in you. And he said, don't worry about it. In the right moment, watch verse 15, I will give you a mouth. A good one. Yeah, sometimes people say, oh, they really got a mouth on them. This is a Jesus mouth. They really got a mouth on them. But it's a mouth, watch this, that's filled with wisdom. There is an anointing and a presence of God that comes when you talk about the kingdom of God. And some of you could experience it if you would take that step of faith that goes, scary. Dangle out here. I'm going to talk about Jesus. And he comes along. Some of you have experienced it. You've started to talk about Jesus. All of a sudden you go, man, I did, wow. That was good. So, many times I'm preaching and stuff is coming out of me that I have to buy the tape. And I go, man, it's like in the moment, in the moment. Now, I do a lot of studying, I promise you that, but when I come up, I don't bring notes. No, on Wednesdays I do, because you're the Wednesday crowd. You demand higher standards. But I freestyle a little bit on the weekend to give room for like some of that, wow, never planned that to happen. And sometimes, like the guys that are here for a lot of service, they'll say, man, you did that different in that service than that service. I said, oh, I know, because that service needed that, and this service needed that. The pieces are kind of the same, but the filling in the sandwich is different. The bread is the same. The filling is different. What, verse 15? So don't really worry about what the Lord will put in your mouth. Listen to him. You will be, even you'll be betrayed, even family. And some of you experience this. I pray, I always pray. When I hear that, I say, Lord, spiritually, pour it on. But I have a friend, this is a true story, who is in Lakeland, and their church has a, you know, like our church has a sprinkler system that runs through in case of emergency or fire, and it burst. And they got a little too much sprinkling and too much open of heaven into their church, 4 inches of water, that it wasn't good. So thank God the roof is working and the sprinkler system is intact. You will even, verse 16, you will even be betrayed, or so you have opposition in the religious courts. You have opposition in the secular courts. You have opposition from human entities. But even your own home will have difficulty. And some homes have difficulty. Parents and brothers and relatives and friends, they will betray you and oppose you. And they'll put some of you to death. Now watch this. Listen to this. They'll put some of you to death. How many would say that's pretty severe? Come on. Are you still with me tonight? Are you still here? Putting to death is serious. But just follow this. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake. Now watch this. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. Now, just think about verse 17. You will be put to death, but not one hair the Lord wants to preserve that hair not one hair of your head will be lost. Now get this, because this is the theme as it flows through the chapter. Materially they may put you to death, but spiritually, you still have your hair. And for some of you, that should be your theme verse right there. Come on, somebody. It's right there. He said, so not one hair's lost, but he's just teaching. They can put you to death physically, but they can't touch your spirit. The world we live in may look material, but the real world we live in is spiritual. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Verse 18, not one hair shall be lost by your patience. By your patience possesses your soul. Then, but when you see Jerusalem, this happened in 70 AD when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies. Then know that the desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea should flee to the mountains. He's given them warning what to do. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. It'll be very hard for you. To be in war with young children is very hard. For there will be a great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led away captive into all nations. Now this happened. The Jewish people were led away into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. In 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus made this prophecy, about 40 years later, Titus came and raided the city of Jerusalem. He killed over 1 million Jews in the destruction of Jerusalem, $1.1 million people. They took about 100,000 into captivity. And from that day until June of 1967, which is not that long ago, the Jewish nation was scattered throughout the nations with no homeland. And that prophecy took place. And Jesus was warning them that will happen. And there'll be signs in the sky, in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roar. Men's heart will fail them. Watch. Will fail them from fear. Now, that's not supposed to be you guys. When turmoil takes, this is not just future tense. When you face turmoil and people are all stressed out, their hearts literally can fail them from stress, but that's not supposed to be you. You're supposed to have, what did he say? No trouble. No, just peace. The expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding. You see and know for yourselves that summer is near. What he was saying is that I've come now, and there is a change in season, and whenever you know and experience the presence of Christ, there's going to be something new. Spring is beautiful when the snow melts. Some places have that, not us, but the world comes back to life. It's a beautiful thing. And he says, listen, when you see the budding up, there's going to be new life. You know that growth is on the way. Here's what he's teaching. When Christ is present, there'll be tribulation in the world. There'll be destruction in the world. People's hearts will be failing. But for you guys, with Christ in your hearts, you should be experiencing new growth, newness of life. We celebrate that tonight with those who are baptized. New creation, new life in the church, new people, new things happening. And that's good for the glory of God. So you also, when you have seen these things happen, know that the kingdom of God is near. So while people's hearts are failing, what should you be thinking about? No problem. The kingdom of God is near. Christ is near. He's with me. He's actually in me. And he's moving through me. Assuredly, I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away till all things have taken place. And it was only within 40 years. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word by no means passes away. I'm trying to read to the end of the chapter. So much good stuff, but it's so much stuff. Okay, let me just get to the end. Here we go. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts, watch this, be weighed down. Okay, while all this stuff is happening, watch this. Take heed to yourself, watch out, take inventory of yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with partying. This is how some people deal with tribulation and stress and bad news, and when things on the political scene don't go the way they think they should, they just medicate themselves or they alcohol themselves. And he says, don't do that. Lest your hearts be weighed down. Don't let that happen. It actually weighs you down more. Actually, escaping into the dream world of drugs and alcohol leaves you in worse shape. You know that. That's what he's saying. Now he says, that's how some people cope. But you people are different. You are not of this material world. You are of a spiritual world. And you don't need substance to find peace. You don't need substance to find joy. You have the Spirit of Almighty God. And take heed. Okay, I'm not gonna get into the partying spirit of this world and be weighed down by the cares of this life. Then the day comes unexpectedly, for it will come to as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth, the whole earth. But here's what we're supposed to do while tribulation, even currently, hard things, weird things are happening. We don't understand. Watch, therefore, and pray. So what are we supposed to do? Well, Fox News is on. Watch and pray. Some of you just watch. That's the problem. Watch and pray. CNN, watch and pray. Read the newspaper. The newspaper actually is a prayer list. You should be praying for our president. You should be praying for our nation. Watch and pray. That's what we're to do. Always. Well, that includes today, right? That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So we are to watch and pray, to be in a spirit of prayer. That's what keeps our heart from trouble. And we are to be, counting ourselves worthy. There's only one way for you to be worthy to stand before the Son of Man, and that's by receiving the Son of Man into your heart. It's not about, I'm going to be good enough. No, he's good enough. So watch and pray, figure life out, and have Christ in you. And once Christ is in you and you recognize it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, then he's the one that's done the work on the cross to make you worthy enough, not that you're working hard. I hope someday I'll be worthy enough. No, you are worthy enough because of what he has done. And that's the only way to be worthy. In the daytime, it just ends up that Jesus was teaching in the temple these parables and the stuff we've read in this chapter. But in the nighttime, he would go out onto the mount called Olivet. So he would teach during the day, all day. This is amazing to me, too, because he's in the last week of his life. He could be just, you know, my last week, I'll just hang out with my friends and just, you know, it's my goodbyes. No, he's out there giving. He's out there sharing. He's out laying down his life, teaching. So he gets there early in the morning because the people meet him. They're waiting for him when he gets there so that he would give them the words of life. And he's giving to us while we're here the words of life. And the words of life he's trying to say to us is, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be distracted and divided by this material world and what you see in this material world. Be in touch with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that will see you through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace and peace to everyone. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, many years ago, when Jesus said these words, there came a great tribulation, wars, rumors of wars. And even today, in 2017, there's tribulation, there's stress, there's earthquakes, there's bad things that happen. But Lord, we do not look to the temple, we don't look even to this building, but we look to the maker of this building. We look beyond. We look to the one that we sing about, Christ. We look to him in worship. And I would pray that no matter what circumstances my brothers and sisters are facing, that the world may be troubled, but in their heart may they have a peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, here you are giving these words of peace a few days before you go to the cross. And may that be our example, that we have peace in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. God bless you guys. See you on the weekend. Love you very much. Yeah, see you. God bless you. I got a suitcase full of empty promises.